The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning. I'm Jackie Reddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I am here with my co-host, husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Very good.
We have with us Bill Kelly, William Kelly, certified residential appraiser with John A. Reddy Appraisal Company. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we review various real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live webcam tab. We have a webcam on the roof, and there's going to be some big construction going on, so you can keep an eye on it on the webcam.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, jruddy.com. And remember to look us up on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Bill Kelly, certified residential appraiser with John A. Reddy Appraisal Company. How long have you been appraising real estate?
I have been appraising real estate for over 5 years now, and I was an apprentice for approximately 10 years coming into that. So it's been about 15 years I've been valuing properties.
All right. So there's a lot to cover when we talk about appraisals. And sometimes you're viewed as the superhero, and at other times
You're the super villain.
You're a villain, yes, like Darth Vader or something.
Yeah, right? The music plays when he comes in.
The worst person to walk the face of the earth in the real estate end of things. So how do you do it all? When you do an appraisal, let's talk about the basics. When you're going in to value a property, it's usually... Well, it could be for a variety of reasons, but sometimes it's a divorce, sometimes it's an estate where someone passed away, and oftentimes it's during a sale where the seller has listed their property on the market for a certain amount of money and buyer has already prepared an agreement of sale and offer, which was accepted. It was acceptable to the seller at the price that they're selling. Oftentimes, though, a seller thinks they're giving it away. And so it's during the loan process, and you're hired by the bank, the lender, to come in and value the property. So sometimes it goes really good, and sometimes it doesn't. And so when you're going in and looking at value, what are you looking at? Because often there has been a realtor involved that has come up with a list price. Sometimes the seller has decided what they want to list for, and they override what the realtor says. But all of that aside, how do you look at this property? Please take me from the outside inside, because I think you and I, myself as a realtor and a broker, and you as an appraiser, I do not appraise. You as an appraiser may look at things differently. And I'd like to hear how you look at them.
So the process begins with an email from an appraisal management company with an address and a contact information. And then I'll schedule the inspection portion of the appraisal, in which I'll walk the lot via the tax records or the deed that's available and measure all of the improvements on the property, meaning the home, the garage, the shed, porches, decks, whatnot. And from there, I'll go inside and do a complete inspection of all rooms, closets, basements, and a head and shoulders inspection of the attic. And then the materials and the quality of the materials throughout the property, and as well as the upkeep of the property. And then at that point, I would take all that data back to my office and put it into a program. And then the appraisal practice is pretty much apples with apples. So the appraisal process today would try to emulate what the average bear would pay for a property. And the lending institution wants me to bring it down to the average bear, so to speak. So I would try to find properties that have sold to a specific type buyer that's purchasing the property that you may have listed. So by doing that, I would range in GLA search, which is similar to square footage, but GLA is above grade and square footage may be above grade or below grade. And I would range that from maybe 25% less and 25% greater. And I would also range in the years of construction. When the home was constructed, you want to be inside of a range there to try to obtain similar properties. And other than that, that's pretty much should draw me down to some comparable properties. And then you have to sort through the comparable properties to see if some have sold under good conditions. Many properties nowadays are selling under conditions that are distressed, whether it's an REO property or
What's an REO?
REO property is real estate owned, and it's usually owned by the bank, and it's selling usually 20% below market value, roughly.
Okay.
And everybody nowadays, well, not everybody, but a lion's share of the market participants just want to buy a foreclosure because somebody flipped a foreclosure on TV at one point, and everybody's like, well, I'd like a foreclosure. And there's risk involved with that, and it's no inspection and things of that nature. So now that you just brought up that REO and the different type of transactions, there's times when people just want to get out of houses, and none of that information is really available online. So sometimes I'll have to call a realtor and say, hey, do you know the house over at XYZ on First Street? Can you please tell me? Like, this looks like it may have sold above or below market. And then they would go on and tell me the conditions of the sale. These are not conditions that are always available online.
So when you are looking at comparable properties and distressed properties, as you just mentioned, the REO, the real estate owned, the bank owned properties, do you factor those in? If it's directly influencing your property? In other words, it's next door, it's across the street.
No, the location of it doesn't have as much effect as the amount of the REO properties that would come into play. If it's over a certain number, then they are part of the market and they have factors into the market. Other than that, if the home is a clean property, well cared for, arm's length transaction, knowledgeable buyer and seller, it's okay to avoid the REO sales or to distress sales to get to the actual apples with apples type properties.
Okay, let's bring up Zillow because Zillow has estimates and a lot of people, sellers and buyers go, like, I mean, it's like the
word. It's
like
the gospel.
It
yes,
is the gospel.
I got his estimate and I know what my house should sell
yes,
for.
Yes, the Zillow number trumps usually, you know, what I have to say or an appraiser has to say. So, but let's talk about Zillow because if there are a lot of foreclosures, bank-owned properties in a neighborhood, that's going to drive price down. So that number that the buyer or the seller is looking at, and it depends on who's looking at it and what argument it really backs up, that Zestimate could be very skewed.
Yeah, honestly, I can't tell you a lot about Zillow, sad but true. I don't know if it's a certified program. I don't know if these sales are ever corrected other than when they go on as list price. I don't know the, you know, if their seller concessions are actually noted there.
No,
I believe it to
no,
be
a,
no.
somewhat of a misleading program as far as appraisal practice goes. So I don't really lean on it at all. So my Zillow knowledge is very slow.
Yes.
And
well, it seems to be the bane of our existence because we are always in a discussion regarding the Zestimate.
Really, the guy's house up the block sold for $500,000. I should get mine. Wait, but that was a 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a 4-car garage on 3 acres of land, and I got a 2-bedroom. You know, but it's in the same neighborhood, so I should be getting big money for mine. But they don't compare the same things.
No, that's exactly my point. The lending standards would call for 3 closed sales and 2 active listings within the marketing area. So a Zestimate can operate, and I don't know exactly how it operates, maybe on 10 closed sales. So you can actually buffer the price and you can move it and manipulate it by using more sales because it's not a certified program. And I don't think they have to answer to anybody.
No, they don't.
So let's get back to the neighborhood. So you're doing an appraisal, and oftentimes in Lackawanna County and the different boroughs and towns and cities, you have neighborhoods there. You have, it might not be a foreclosure, but a low-end sale, $50,000. And in that same block, in that same neighborhood, you have something that sells for over $300,000. And so you have, and then, of course, you have different styles. And when you're telling me or telling the listener, you compare apples with apples, you're not comparing a ranch to a three-story, but how do you differentiate the from that price range, $50,000 to $300,000?
Well, you basically just have to overlook it and get back to a methodology that allows you to compare apples with apples, and that's a square footage or a GLA range of 75% to 125%, and then a range within the age of the property and the features. And long as you stay within that range, it's okay to not use the property that's way smaller or way larger, and it just is what it is.
Okay. So oftentimes we come across a property in these town, cities, boroughs, where it's a unique situation, a unique style home, and there are a lack of comparable sales in that area, not so much the neighborhood, but in that town, city, borough. Are you allowed to go to different areas in that county?
Yeah, you can definitely utilize multiple marketing areas if the property's characteristics can justify that, long as you're going to move over or skip over properties, long as you've got a reason for it, whether it's an in-ground pool, whether it's a six-car garage, whether it's the amount of GLA, or whether it's located next to a prospering park. Whatever the case may be, if you're going to leave a marketing area, a smaller marketing area, and expand out, long as you can justify why you're doing it, it's generally, it's okay.
Okay, so the underwriter for the lender won't have a problem with that as long as you could state in that appraisal report why you're doing it.
Generally not.
Okay, so that's interesting. So a lot of what you do takes a lot of time. So there's not only the inspection where you're going out to the property, there's also the report. How many pages are your appraisal reports?
Probably nowadays with deeds included and marketing conditions included, roughly 30 pages.
30 okay. pages? Oh my God.
And how long would you say from the order, the acceptance of the order, the click of the acceptance button on your computer screen to the end and the submission of the appraisal report, how long, how many hours?
It's generally 2 days after an inspection. If I inspected a property Monday at noon, they would like to see it by Wednesday at noon. 48 hours total time is the turn time on an appraisal.
Well, that's the turnaround time, but how many hours do you spend?
Probably about 6 to 8 hours typing, and then possibly returning to the marketing area to get comparable photos. Many lenders for full appraisals want comparable photos of every comp and listing that you use on the report.
Because that's interesting. You spend anywhere from 7 to 10 hours.
7 to 11 hours probably be a fair guess.
Okay. That's interesting because I think a lot of times the public may think we are the ATMs of value.
Really? Just click a few buttons and that's it. And then we have an appraisal. They don't realize the work that goes into this and the legwork that you have to. You're actually out at the properties.
Yes.
Let's go and break down what you consider part of value within that property and the exterior as well and inside interior. Let's look at the different things that add value to a home, because oftentimes we go to a property and people want to know before they put the house for sale what they can do to get the most for their property. And I don't really at that point suggest major renovations because there's that's not going to be recovered. So when you're looking at a property, what do you value? Do you a lot of landscaping on the outside and vinyl siding?
Anything that's above or below the market would be considered in the appraised value of a property. For instance, if you had a very unique Victorian style, ornate exterior trim, all that stuff does come into value. But at the end of the day, the appraised value is based on the prior sales within your marketing area. That's one of the cold, hard facts of an appraisal, is that it's not as much as what an appraiser thinks a property's worth. It's what an appraiser can prove what a property's worth. And for an appraiser to prove what a property's worth, he has to look at comparable sales that have occurred in the past 6 months, maybe a year.
Well, here's where I get into an opposing viewpoint. Because if there are two people, two different buyers that are willing to pay similar prices, different agents, different buyers, they have no idea who the other person is, and there's two competing offers on a property which are very similar, let's just pull a number out of the thin air, $150,000, and an appraiser comes in and appraises it at $140,000, that to me makes no sense. Because there's two unrelated buyers out there that are willing to pay $150,000, and isn't that the definition? What a ready, willing, able buyer is willing to pay? Isn't that what the definition is?
That may be the definition of market value, but that's not the appraised value. Market value, price versus value are two different things. Price is the amount of money I paid, and value relates to what I got.
So the moral of the story is what the appraiser says.
Sounds like that, but it's, and the moral goes back one little step backwards farther. It's what the appraiser can prove.
What the appraiser can prove.
And what the appraiser can prove is based on sales that have occurred.
Sales that have occurred.
So these are your neighbors, your friends and family that are selling homes within your marketing area are dictating what you can get for your property. And the way they care for them and present them to the market also has an effect.
Okay, so then tell me this. Please.
Riddle me this, Batman.
You are in an adjusting market that seems to be increasing. How do you prove that value if you're basing it on comparable sales that are obviously lower than the increasing value? How do you do that?
Well, you would definitely have to show some type of statistical market analysis that can prove that the marketing is prospering. And then at that point, how is it prospering or why is it prospering? It's very hard to move properties forward in a comparable data appraisal. It's very hard to actually get to that point. But I guess it is done in small increments and over time. And it's not done in a big dramatic fashion. It's done in, like I said, small increments over time.
Well, we're in Northeast PA, so we're not seeing the elevated prices that some of the, you know, other states and areas across the U.S. are seeing. But there, let's take the Abingtons, for example. In that area right now, there seems to be
a real increase in price.
Well, not, yes, an increase in price, but multiple offers.
Right, for the same property.
For the same property. You may see.
Well, that's things that dictate value. If there's an increase in price over time, that will be an increase in value over time. That's exactly the question you asked back question ago.
Yeah, it's a popular area. So the price range from 200 to 300. It's just they're listing it, and as soon as they're listing it, they're receiving multiple offers. Many people want that property, and so you go to your statistics, you look at your statistics, and you break it down. So with you today, you have some sort of school district information there. And if you can help me see what you see when you're arriving at value.
So basically, a statistical market analysis would look at a 12-month of sales. 12 months of sales are 1 year. And in Abington Heights, in the past year, utilizing all sales and relying on the data that is put in by the realtors and or brokers, there was 305 sales ranging in value from $235 to $842,500, with the median being $241,000. That's in Abington Heights, and it's been steadily increasing from $205,000 to $235,000 for sales price.
So you could, that's how you justify the increase in value.
Well, as an appraiser, this is just big raw data. This is just a school district in general. When I get back to using GLA and trying to put apples with apples, there's segregated markets within every single bigger market, if that makes sense.
Are you given some discretion with these when you're doing these appraisals? Can you say, well, this house is nice, I can add 10% or something like that?
That comes into play on occasion.
It does? Okay.
Yeah. There's certain features that would justify that.
Okay, and that's for residential.
Yeah, this is residential single family homes.
So you say they started at $235?
Yeah.
I'll buy every one of them.
I don't know how many there were.
I'll buy them all.
Okay. So that's just one area of our marketplace where you can go in and see that there has been a difference in the price within the last 12 months.
Yeah, the sales prices were $205,000 was the average between 8/20/2017 to February 19th, 2018. And then for the next three-month period, which is February 20th to May 20th, would be $230,000. And then from May 20th till August 20th, the sales price was $234,000. So there's been a steady increment of increasing values within the Abington Heights School District.
Interesting information. We're headed towards a break. Before we go, we have Bill Kelly, Certified Residential Appraiser with John A. Ruddy Appraisal Company. What's your contact info, please?
I can be reached at jruddy.com and or wkelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 312@comcast.net. Or you can also reach me at 570-471-3204.
Pat?
Yes, we have a beautifully updated three-bedroom, two-bath home on 10.5 acres of land at 5225 Irish Hill Road for $295,000. That's in Montrose. This ranch-style home is perfect for a primary residence. It could be a hunter's retreat. It could be a vacation home. This home also has a two-car garage, and on the second floor of the two-car garage is it's a guest house. It's got a bedroom, it's got a kitchen, a dining room, a three-quarter bath. This home is in beautiful condition. It's got a large deck with great views. There's also a finished basement. This is beautiful. I wonder if this would be a unique property. I wonder how many comps you could get for this one.
Why, it sounds unique.
It does sound unique, doesn't it? That's an updated three-bedroom, two-bath ranch with a two-car garage on 10.5 acres of land at 5225 Irish Hill Road in Montrose for $295,000. And that's listed by Gail Lewis of our office.
Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be right back.
The talented team of professionals at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. They're not just real estate agents. They're agents of change. They're on a never-ending quest for the best for you and your family. They can help you find exactly, precisely what you want at this time in your life. A computer, a website, an app, and a listing by itself can't do that. They're obsessed with better and deliver extraordinary, embracing the what if, not just the what's been done before, with a level of accountability and honesty not found anywhere else in the real estate industry. Don't settle for average, okay, or just all right. This change in your life is monumental. And there's only one Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate that will help you rock that change. Call 570-344-6724 and visit jruddy.com. J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We have returned with Bill Kelly, Certified Residential Appraiser with John A. Ruddy Appraisal Company. Hello.
Hello, Jackie. How are you today?
We're doing great. We have also Pat Devaney, my co-host, fellow realtor here with us.
Yes, we're back. We went a little over, but we're back.
We're back. Okay, so let's talk about improvements and how you see them in a property. So you have an in-ground pool.
That I paid $40,000 for?
Or an in-home theater. And these wonderful, beautiful luxury items. If you have this in-home theater and this gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous pool in Dunmore, as opposed to, say, an outlying area such as Carbondale.
Up the line.
Or Down Valley. Is it the same adjustment and same amount that's given to these features in each appraisal?
Because some people think they put $40,000 into a pool, they should get an extra $40,000 when they go to sell their house.
Right, but the actual truth of the matter is that the features are based on what the market will bear. So people who are looking for a property up in Carbondale, sad but true, are generally not specifically looking for a home theater or an in-ground pool. Some people will have those in the properties and will buy them, but the market doesn't support the cost of the feature generally in that market, or different markets have different support for that.
So the number you give to that feature in Carbondale would be different than
Glenmora.
Or the Abingtons. Or
yeah, absolutely. It's a different style of house, and there's different criteria that would come with it and a different type of buyer. So an in-ground pool would definitely range in value if you were spending under, say, $100,000 versus a property that you were purchasing for over $400,000 with an in-ground pool. The adjustment can vary from, say, $7,000 to $32,000 for the same exact pool.
Just in a different location. Same exact thing.
Yep.
It's all about location. Always will be.
Location, location, location.
Always.
Okay. Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, because so, some people, I would, if I was looking at a house, I don't want a pool. I mean, that would pretty much eliminate a house for me because I don't want the maintenance. I don't want the liability. I just don't want a pool.
Exactly.
So does a pool automatically add value?
An in-ground pool, yes. It absolutely does. Absolutely.
Because I've had some appraisers say no.
No. An in-ground pool, it's a feature that people would love to have. And yes, it adds value.
Okay. So you look at it as adding value. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the person, the homeowner who paid $40,000, $50,000 is going to actually get
that. No, they might not bear the cost of the pool out at a sale, but it definitely adds value. And also, it may defer two or three of 10 prospective buyers away because some people do not want pools, and we've accepted that, and we all know that, but it doesn't not add value.
Okay.
Right. Some people want to have a pool, but a guy like me, I want to have a garage. So it's all different strokes.
How about a corner lot? Is that a superior lot as opposed to something that's in the middle of the street?
It's not something that would actually break down on an appraisal that would probably show value. It does come into play on, say, a strip of townhomes. The corner ones are generally come in a little higher value, and you can adjust for that. But within a city block, I think a lot of that is really driven by the buyer's want and desire. That's more just absorbed by desire, and it's just an unwritten thing. There's no real adjustment for that.
So does it actually, okay, so there's no adjustment up or down, because then it doesn't devalue, because I've had appraisers tell me, well, it's more traffic by your home. And they looked at it as a negative.
No, we don't get that detailed and adjust for corner lots versus middle lots.
Okay. Interesting conversation. Would you come back next week to talk more about appraisals?
I am available to come back next week and speak a little more about appraisals.
All right. Bill Kelly, Certified Residential Appraiser with John A. Ruddy Appraisal Company. How does one get in touch with you, please?
They can reach out to me at jruddy.com, or they can also email me at wkelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 312, at comcast.net, or they can reach my direct line. That's 570-471-3204.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Pat?
Yes, we have an updated two-family home at 814-816 Greenridge Street in Scranton for $154,000. This side-by-side home has four bedrooms on one side and two bedrooms on the other. The home has replacement windows, updated kitchens and baths in both units. There is off-street parking. All of the utilities are paid by the tenants. Also, there is an additional two-bedroom apartment that would need zoning approval to be occupied. You can live in one unit and have the rent pay the mortgage. That's a duplex side-by-side two-family at 814-816 Greenridge Street for $154,000, and that's listed by Bill Wren of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And I have the top 10 cities to buy a home big enough to raise a family. And sometimes it's difficult to find a budget-friendly home big enough to comfortably fit a growing family.
Yes, and I can afford nothing in Brooklyn.
So Smart Asset went out, and it's a website. They looked at 100 of the largest cities in the country and used some data metrics to find the best cities to buy a home big enough to raise a family. Number one, Chandler, Arizona. Two, Boise, Idaho. Three, Gilbert, Arizona. Four, Fremont, California. Five, Aurora, Colorado. Six, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Seven, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Eight, Scottsdale, Arizona. Nine, Plano, Texas. 10, Raleigh, North Carolina. PA did not make the list.
Didn't make the list.
But we went to Texas this past summer. We had a great trip. I didn't know that we would actually have as much fun as we did first time in the Lone Star State. And we were impressed,
yes,
weren't we?
Maybe we'll go back.
All right. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker.